I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's jump right into another edition of The Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Man, Mike was kind of hot there, wasn't it? We're still trying to figure out everything with this new setup here in the studio. We got new equipment.
Plus, I moved things, and I'm like, this wasn't where it was at 24 hours ago.
Yeah, so just kind of bear with us. We'll have a fun show tonight.
What does this button do?
So,
never mind.
We'll just figure it out as we go. Happy to have you here on this Friday evening. Looking forward to the weekend. Twins baseball, Houston Astros at Target Field. It should be fun. I want to start tonight's show with talking about one of the great loves of my life, which is college basketball. And I'm never going to divorce college basketball. I love college basketball. Will never, ever leave me. I will never leave college basketball. That is the missus. I've been married to college basketball my entire life. If you say, what is the one part of sports that you just have to live with and can never have taken away from you? You can take away the NFL. I don't care. You can take away college football. I don't care. You can take away NBA basketball. I care. But if you have college basketball, I'm fine. That's my heart. But there's an issue with college basketball that needs to be addressed. And the thing with college basketball right now is, as much as I love NIL and kids getting paid, and even the kids, when we talk about name, image, likeness, it's not necessarily that. It's just getting money to play college basketball. I have no issue with that. But we have to put in some rules and restrictions, I think, moving forward. And I think that those rules and restrictions are pretty simple. In my opinion, there's two things that should, if it was up to me, if I was the commissioner, if I was the head of the NCAA, if I was in charge, that I would want to see happen. The first is that when you offer a kid to come to your institution, it should be a two-year commitment. A two-year commitment. I don't care if that individual is coming through the transfer portal or directly from high school. 2 years is what they are going to be a part of when they go to your program. There's too much movement in the sport right now. This is too much movement. And look, I'm all for kids getting paid, but it's not fun to me to see college basketball athletes, and I don't care if men or women, for them to go from one institution to the next institution to the next institution to the next. No. Enough already. I'm all for you getting a chance to transfer. But to be able to go to like 3 and 4 institutions to play college basketball is insane to me. And I get it. This is NBA and WNBA free agency. I understand. Right? Like with the women, same thing. Haley Van Lith just was at TCU. Before that was at LSU and started at Louisville. We have got kids going from one institution to the next to the next. There's way too much movement. I'm all for getting the bag, but it's taking some of the fun out of college basketball. So that's one thing. Two-year commitments. The other thing is that I feel like beyond just the two-year commitment thing, I think that we need to start capping how many institutions you can actually go to in the span of your eligibility to play collegiate sports. Because right now, I think it's insane. Insane. That legitimately, if you are a young athlete that goes into college basketball, that if you have 4 years of eligibility, you could just view it as one-year contracts. And you could be at Louisville 1 year, go to Minnesota the next, go to Baylor the next, and then say, you know what, I'm going to finish off in Los Angeles. I'll go to UCLA. I don't like it. It's and I get it, the transfer portal, you got to be creative in how you go into the transfer portal and you deal with these athletes and you bring them to their institution. But I don't think that this is good for college athletics. And it's crazy because just an hour ago, a kid from here, Cam Heidi, who was at Purdue the last couple of years, he is now committed to Texas. And I congratulate him because I know he probably got big money from the folks at Texas. I'm all for that. But is he going to be at Texas for the duration of his career? Or is he going to be a free agent at the end of next year? And we've seen it with Dane Deja. He went to Baylor. Then he went to Illinois. This year he was with Penny Hardaway in Memphis. It just, I don't like it. It's just a little bit too much, and it takes some of the fun out of my favorite sport.
You said two words there that I never thought would be associated with college sports, and that's free agent. It is insane to think that this is where we're at, but this is how the NCAA, I think, has, they realize that the old amateurish ways, it was outdated, antiquated, they had to move on. I like it used to mean something when somebody transferred. It's like, oh man, somebody's going from this school to another. It was like, wow, it was a big deal. And then you had to sit out a year. You know, your transfer year. You still got that year of eligibility like a red shirt, but you had to sit out a year. And now, I mean, I just go back to the old Cardale Jones quote when he was playing for Ohio State, playing football. Oh, we didn't come here to play school. And
yeah.
that will always not be fun. I mean, he was ahead of the game. I mean, but we need to be honest that a lot of these college athletes, I feel like, and I said this to you like before we came on the air, it seems very short-sighted, in my opinion, because they're thinking about the here and now. Like, what are we going to do this year, next year, for the next 3-4 years? When your college athletic eligibility runs out, what do you have to show for it? You have the credits that may or may not transfer between schools, and then you got no degree, and you've spent all of this time, and you're in your mid-20s, you got nothing to show for it, then what? You know, and maybe nowadays you can make enough money playing college sports that it might be worth it, but you don't have that degree, which ultimately, I don't know, it may or may help you now at this point, but I feel like you're just...
Well...
I feel like it's short-sighted, not looking long-term.
651-461-9226. Love your reaction on the text line. Love a phone call or two. The other part to this is, and this is the final point that I want to make, and this is just because I value education, worked in education. My mother was a lifelong educator. This is the thing that bothers me. It's in today's society, with athletes specifically, we are devaluing the education system. We are devaluing being on a college campus for the education piece. I get it. Get your money. I'm not knocking that. But when you are moving from one institution to the next, it's not at all about education. It's about I need to get this money to play this sport, and then I'm moving on to the next place. And I think that's sending a bad message. And look, I'm not going to sit here and act as though that if a kid goes to college for 3 years and then they end up in professional basketball or whatever they may do, that they can't eventually go back to school. They can. There have been people that I have dealt with in my life that did exactly that. I remember years ago, Juwan Howard from the Fab Five, he had made a promise to his grandmother that he was going to graduate from college, okay? And when he left a year early, He made that commitment to his grandma. And I remember early on in his NBA career, because he had said this to me, because I remember one time they were in town because he was playing with the Washington Bullets. Remember, they were still called the Bullets at that time. And I remember us being over at the hotel, and we're just kind of hanging out, getting ready to go out on the town in Atlanta. And I remember George Murison was up at the bar with, like, a woman under each arm.
George Murison?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Big George?
Oh, yes.
Big George?
Yes. Jim Linen was the coach. Oh, yeah. Oh. We had a time, baby.
Man, you are going old school.
We had a time. But, yes, we had talked about that. He was talking about doing the whole – it wasn't necessarily, like, basically online, but he was taking courses from afar and trying to, you know, stay in tune with everything because he wanted to be able to go ahead and graduate from Michigan because of that commitment that he made to his family. I just hate the dynamics of how we are devaluing education. Your thoughts, your opinions, your text, your phone calls coming up next here on The Lake Show.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, text line weighing in. Your reaction? Because I do think that we should start making more commitments to colleges and education. I'm all for these kids getting paid. But no, you should not have 4 years of college eligibility to play sports and go to four different institutions. I don't even believe three. I think it should be two max. And I do – now, to me, there should be certain certain outs, okay? Specific situations that happen, we get it. That across the board, it shouldn't just be cookie cutter. If somebody's mother or a family member gets sick, yes, you should be allowed to go and transfer and get closer to home or do whatever, right? Or if, you know, somebody passes away. I mean, there's dynamics to all of this, okay? So, yes, there are ways that I believe you should be given outs. But by and large, just because you're given a bag and you are paid to play doesn't mean that you should be allowed to jump to every single school that throws money your way. Text line,
you know,
weighing
a lot
in.
Of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
Text line is weighing in. From the 651, college should not be paid. They're already getting free tuition. So they're saying that the students should not be paid to play. First off, they're already getting paid to play. Okay? So that's not going to end. Now, you're saying that they should not be? I believe they should be. If Paige Beckers, her face is being plastered on commercials on ESPN and ABC and CBS or whatever, you mean to tell me she shouldn't get a dime off of her name, image, and likeness? I think this texture doesn't like the name, image, and likeness thing, and I'm all for that. So I'm going to disagree with the texture there. I get it. A free tuition and a college education means a lot because of scholarships and being able to be on a college campus, that's a lot of money. But do I think that they should be able to profit from that? Absolutely.
Those colleges are making a lot of money off of those athletes.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why Johnny Manziel – kind of got in some hot water for going and signing some autographs when he was in college. And, you know, I remember when I first moved down to Columbia and I, you know, was on campus doing some things and I saw these 16 jerseys, you know, these football jerseys. We knew it was Brad Smith. We knew who it was. There wasn't the name and people were buying them because they knew it was Brad Smith. And if it wasn't him, they probably wouldn't have bought it. So I think it's at that point, if they're going to make all of this money off of you, then I think you absolutely should be able to reap some of those benefits.
For the 612, Henry, you're correct. I have three boys and two daughters that play sports in college. Sports somehow those kids and their families are cut above. They develop lifelong friendships. That's the part that really gets me about a lot of this. Is when you go back and you think about your college days and you think about the dorm that you're in, You think about living off campus. You think about the certain things that you were a part of. And no, I didn't play collegiate sports. But there are some bonds that you'll never forget. There are times that you will never forget. You know, I just think that there are certain things that are a part of the college experience that I'm so glad were a part of my life. Like, for instance, I love the fact that when you're a Morehouse man, you are not allowed to have a car on campus. It makes you have to do things with other freshmen and other classmates where you have to kind of lean on each other. You have to share in that experience that you got to get around Atlanta amongst each other, whether it's utilizing the train or utilizing the bus or maybe hopping in with an upperclassman to get where you needed to go. I appreciated that. And I also appreciate the fact that as a freshman, you had to live on campus. You had to live in a dorm.
I loved that because there's so much time when you're older. You know, you get out of, you know, you're out of your mom and dad's house. You're like, oh my God, finally, I can go and I can do my own thing. Well, I got to be honest, like being an adult is overrated. Like, I want to go back and I lived on campus for all 5 years because of getting involved in student government early. I loved it because guess what? I've been living on my own for, you know, more than I've been, you know, at home under somebody else's roof. So it's a wonderful experience. But you mentioned something there, Henry, about, you know, being a Morehouse and there were certain rules that you had to follow. Those are things that you value. But I think that some of these athletes, some of these kids, they've got a different value set. They've got a different mindset where they're there and they have a very specific goal to squeeze as much out of the athletic system and the NIL as they can.
But the other part of it, though, is, and this is where they're different from you and I, they have a certain skill set that they can monetize.
Yes.
All right. So I give them credit for that.
Take it. Yes, absolutely.
When you're Cooper Flagg and you're 6'8 and you're going to be the number one overall pick, you're in a different, you know, stratosphere than Henry Lake, just an average freshman at Morehouse College. So I totally understand that. And I love that for their experience. Now, from the text line, from the 320, why not just have them sign a contract like the pros do? Well, you can't do that because collegiate athletics are essentially year-to-year contracts. That's what happened. And it's been that way, okay? Now, you didn't realize it was that way, but it's always been that way.
It was one of those unspoken rules.
Back in the day, when you heard about a kid leaving a program, and we're talking about, when I say back in the day, I'm talking about way back in the day, 80s, 70s, whatever, and they left before their 4 years was up, the reason why it wasn't discussed or talked about, because it was a nudge from the coach and administration, yeah, we need you to move on. Like there were conversations between coaches with kids saying, look, we're recruiting somebody in to take your spot.
Yes.
It's best that you move on because you don't no longer have a spot here. And so they would allow that kid to, quote, transfer. That was the way things kind of played out.
Yeah. The athletes have the leverage now. Athletes have all of the leverage right now. And until something changes, they're going to continue to use it.
651-461-9226 from the 651. By having students transfer every year, many of their credits do not transfer with them from school to school, and they end their four-year career without a degree. Now, what I will say about that, though, is that when you think about the four-year degree, if you're persistent and you value education and you want your degree, you'll do what you got to do to get your degree. And a lot of people, regardless of whether you're an athlete or not, aren't finishing college in 4 years.
No.
Like, you played the soundbite about the seven-year thing, whatever. I totally get that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that there are a lot of people that end up on college campuses a lot longer than 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, it took me 5 years. And I figure that the 4 years is just kind of outdated, right? I don't think the four-year, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, that wasn't a thing back when I got to NDSU in 94. And I was there for 5 years, and I figured that that's kind of the norm. But you do have grad school. You do have exceptions to that rule.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, whenever I think about things being elongated, I think about the Tommy Boy clip. Or I think about Ryan Reynolds and Van Wilder. Like, there are some people that go to the post, secondary education with no intentions of getting a degree. They're there for the recreation, for the parties, for sports, whatever. And then I think they kind of, to me, I feel like it's like, let's go fast and hard and burn out. And then we'll reset when we've kind of got it all out of our system. And then we're going to figure out what we want to do.
All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And then after that, the Minnesota Timberwolves have had a partnership this season with Starkey Hearing. And what is that partnership specifically? And what have you heard that's enhanced things for the basketball viewing experience at Target Center this year? We're going to talk to the president and CEO of Starkey, Brandon Sawalich. He's going to join us next year on The Lake Show. If you've been to a Minnesota Timberwolves home game recently, you may be shocked to feel like you're already in that playoff game atmosphere. Team is playing well, but they've had a partnership this season that I want to discuss and talk about. And they can tell us a little bit about what's going on between their organization and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Starkey Hearing, their president and CEO, Brandon Sawalich, is joining us here, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline, to kind of describe and tell us what's going on between the partnership with Starkey and the Minnesota Timberwolves. First off, Brandon, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Henry. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I've heard so many amazing things about Starkey throughout the years, and I've had friends that have worked in your organization, and I know all the great work that you guys have done, and the famous foundation, kind of the red carpet gala that you guys have had for many, many years has been kind of notorious. It's just a great time to give back to the community. But you guys have an interesting relationship and partnership now with the Minnesota Timberwolves, one of my favorite teams in sports. Tell me a little bit about what Starkey has going on with the Wolves.
Well, thanks. Well, it's part of mine now, too. It's hard not to be. But, we're been in the business here in Minnesota for close to, 60 years. And it's really about giving back. You mentioned it, the gala. That's the Starkey Hearing Foundation, which is a separate, but it all goes back to who we are, our culture. And we pivoted with the times, and hearing health is important. Hearing's essential. And you've got 1 in 7 teenagers that have a hearing loss right now. And, of course, with adults, and whether it's the Timberwolves and the Vikings and the noise and crank up the volume, if you lose it, it's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've partnered with them and just providing hearing protection on each home game along with the Minnesota Lynx. And it's about being a good corporate citizen, taking care of our home team.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I saw in one of the press releases, your chief marketing officer, Starkey, Karen Spaeth, says Starkey believes in the power of partnerships to create positive change. Aligning with the Minnesota Timberwolves and Minnesota Lynx allows us to not only support our local community, but also raise awareness about the importance of hearing health and hearing protection. I love that because I don't think that we talk enough about hearing health. And one of the things that I have tried to be intentional about, specifically since the pandemic, is talking about our overall health. We talk about respiratory health. We talk about heart health and stuff like that. We should be more aware about hearing health.
We have 5 senses, and hearing is essential and one of the most important because it feeds the brain. So we provide solutions and technologies that exercises the brain, keeps people in the game. And, for us, this is part of, you can make money on hearing loss, but educate people that don't know about it and how much hearing is important, whether it's with balance, staying connected, depression, Alzheimer's. I could go down the list, and I've had many people say, well, you're going to take money away from me in the future. Well, you know what? If I could help somebody and educate, that's worth it to me because we're privately held, and it's all about, we're in the people business. And for us, you know, you mentioned the Karen and the, you know, the Lynx, you know, part of this is we're part of the Lynx change makers, and our CPO, Jessica Perez, and Karen are part of that team in, you know, being a part of, you know, that their efforts of, you know, celebrating individuals that make a difference in our community. And we want to improve the lives of others. I know that sounds hokey and everybody says that, but that's who we are. That's this caring company that, as you mentioned, you have people in it work at Starkey or the foundation's gala. We want to help because we connect people with people.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Brandon Sawalich. He's the president and CEO of Starkey, joining us here on The Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. So now for the average listener out there and people that know about Starkey, they clearly know about the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx. When you hear that Starkey supplies hearing protection at every Timberwolves or Lynx home game, what does that actually look like?
Well, they're available for each attendee as they walk in. Yeah, you'll see on the scoreboard the, you know, Starkey Replay or the Starkey brand, and that's great. But being privately held, it's really about respect and recognition. And again, you know, we're very selective of who we partner with because you can't partner with everybody. But we want to give back, and you know, in those stadiums, those games, because I've been there, and I've been at the Vikings, of course. You know, you're talking 100 dB or more. So when they're saying, raise the noise, I'm part of it. You want that excitement. But it's 100 dB and more, which is more like, that's a rock concert.
Yeah.
That's a motorcycle. And if you're exposed to that too long, too much, you're going to start, you know, getting the hearing loss, whether it's your teenager or an adult, and it's not coming back.
Yep. Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. And, you know, I'm a season ticket holder for the Wolves. And, you know, I don't typically sit in the seats. I typically will share them with friends. I'll share them with family because when I go, I'm in, you know, journalist and reporter mode and host mode, and I'm sitting in the media section. But you're right. There's a lot of things that are going into being at a sports game nowadays because, as you know, Brandon, it's a sports experience. Talk about and give some of the tips out there to people that are listening about maybe some of the precautions that they can do while enjoying a game.
Well, it's really, you know, you've got to be, you're in the moment, whether you're down or they're coming back or they're blowing it up, and it's constant cheering, and you're in that environment where noise is bouncing off the walls and it's getting louder. And, you know, it's, you know, what we provide is, you know, we have the foamy plugs that work well. It dampens it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just being aware because you're thinking, oh, it's just this once, and you leave and your ears are ringing or something. Well, that's a sign. And you do that too many times and it's going to catch up to you. It'll catch up to you. And then it affects your work, your family, your performance, your balance, even the little things we take for granted of hearing your feet on the carpet or how you walk, which leads to balance and falls. So the thing about hearing loss is it's not a priority for many because, respectfully, you're not going to die from it.
Yeah.
So I'll take care of it later. And people have a misperception on hearing aids, hearing solutions, which is what we lead in around the world, 1 in 5, and we're the only U.S.-owned. And right here in the great state of Minnesota, you're not going to, you know, they have a perception, whether it's from Hollywood or the media, that, it's a big, ugly, you know, thing that whistles and stuff. That's not today's technology. It's cool technology. It's, you know, we make hearing aids cool, and the ear is the new wrist.
And
think
I think
like Jarvis in the ear.
Yeah, and I think also, Brandon, that, you know, I think for most people, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you think about hearing, at least in my opinion, is probably when we talk about hearing loss, it's probably gradually over time. Whereas a lot of people, they won't think about, you know, one of the senses immediately until it's gone or it's like severely impacted.
You don't recognize it. And the brain does before you do. And think about it. It's not about a hearing aid. It's your hearing that feeds the brain. And then, you know, simplistic is that holes, you know, you get holes start coming in the brain with sound you're missing, right? Not
yep.
literal holes, but just example. And what we do with our products is providing state-of-the-art AI and technology that's filling those gaps in the environment, because at the end of the day, no matter what our features are, people want to hear better and they want the advantage. And that's what we provide. We want to, you know, people to be the best they could be each and every day.
Yeah. We're talking to Brandon Sawalich, President and CEO of Starkey here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WC Show. Hey, before I let you go, I do got to ask you one more question. Do you guys still do the foundation gala?
You know, with COVID, it stopped. You know, kind of the black tie thing is it's there, but it's kind of, you know, respectfully kind of a little bit went out of style.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the Starkey Hearing Foundation, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if something comes back next year.
Okay. All right. So you just let a friend of mine off the hook, because one of my dear friends that I've known for 20 years, she works for Starkey now. Her name is Jennifer Hargraves. I saw her and her husband. I saw her and her, I saw her and her husband last week at the Wolves game, and we hadn't seen each other since COVID. And so we hugged it out. We took pictures. I introduced her to some people, and she says, "Oh, I work for Starkey now." And it's funny because I said just to her like 48 hours ago, I said, "I think that I'm going to have the CEO on," and I told her your name. She says, "Yes, I report directly to him. That's my boss. He's awesome. He's amazing." So you just let Jenny off the hook, because I was going to lean on Jenny and Brian. I was going to say, you better get me to the damn gala or else.
I will. Jenny's great. I hired her, talented and very charismatic, caring, and she heads up our Starkey Cares program, which is our corporate social responsibility program. And, you know, you can talk to her, but, you know, I'm also going to end for you with whatever you want.
Well, I appreciate it, Brandon. Hey, thanks so much for finding some time on a Friday evening. I know that you could probably do a million different things on a Friday night, you know, other than join me here on the radio. But I'm so happy that we can make it work, and I'd love to meet you in the future.
I'd like that, and it's my pleasure. I thank you for the opportunity.
All right, take care. That's Brandon Sawalich. He is the president and CEO of the Starkey Hearing Company right here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the hour next.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm glad that Brandon joined us here on the show, Sawalich, President CEO of Starkey, because when we think about the senses, I think that we do take them for granted. We take them for granted, and it for the most part, it's not like your senses just wake up one day and then you just can't hear. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it gradually, as you get older or over time, things happen. Not to say that weird things don't happen to the human body, mm-hmm. and you know you can't that nobody ever wakes up and they can't hear or they can't see or whatever. But the bottom line is, you don't think about it until you're negatively impacted by it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like for me, I just recently got glasses.
Yeah. Welcome to the party, pal.
And so I don't wear them every single moment of every single day.
Yeah.
But yeah, my vision ain't 20/20 like it used to be.
I used to have like great vision, and then all of a sudden it's like, my vision isn't good. Next thing you know, I'm like, you wear glasses.
Yeah, I'm wearing glasses now. When I used to be like, my vision was like Barry Sanders.
I know. Oh man, you're the circle button on the controller. It's like, is that Barry Sanders or Henry Lake? I don't know.
And you don't think of, you know, the only time that I think about the whole hearing thing, mm-hmm. with going to Target Center or any stadium, is when you're at a stadium and you see people with babies, and they have the
big earphones, like the earphones, big industrial ones.
Yep. Yeah. That's the only time I actually think about it.
And it's, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I see it and I'm just like, I would never bring a child to a situation like that. I understand that maybe you don't want to miss out, but I'm like, man, you're bringing a kid there. But these safeguards, they try and protect the best that they can.
And that's what they're for.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why that's a very popular and a very successful industry. But you're right. It's one of those that you don't think about it until you don't have it anymore. And then it's like, okay, well, what, you know, what do I do now? Because you can't get it back, and then you just have to adjust with it. And that's the frustrating part. It's like brain cells, right? Like if some of your brain cells get killed off, like you can't regenerate those. You can't just regenerate, you know, your hearing ability. So you do have to, I think a lot of people just take it for granted. We take it for granted until you don't have it.
You know, one of the things that gets me every time is the videos where you have the little kids that they get the implant or they get the hearing device.
The little hearing behind the ear?
Yep. And when they hear for the first time, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, I get teary-eyed every single time, because when we talk about the senses and they are able to hear for the first time, mm-hmm. and they look at their parent, at their mom or dad, and they get overcome with emotion, dude, that just, oh, gosh. I'm telling you, man, that gets me every single time.
It's because their world has opened up.
Yeah, like, it's changed forever.
Their world as they know it has completely changed, and now they've got another way that they can experience their mom, their dad, the world around them. It's another way to enhance that communication. You know, it's not unlike when you have somebody that's got glasses and they see color for the first time. And it's just, they're amazed. And I mean, I know my stepdad is colorblind. Like, I understand there are people that are colorblind. Mm-hmm. But when you see these kids, especially, because all they have known, there's no bitterness, there's no, like, they're experiencing life as they know it. And then all of a sudden, they can see, they can hear. And the one thing about kids is they can't hide things. Like, they can't fake things like adults can. Because we know how to fake, and I don't know how to say this, but adults, kind of, they fib a little bit every now and then. I'm just going to throw it out there. Maybe adults aren't necessarily the most, I don't know, maybe they are. Maybe
a lot of adults are liars? I think we know that.
No, that's not true.
You sure?
I don't know. I don't know what's true and what's fake anymore. But kids are just so genuine and pure and full of joy that if you can't see something like that and take joy, then you are the problem. You're absolutely the problem, because, you know, there's nothing better than seeing a kid that's genuinely happy, whether it's yours or somebody else's. It's just, those are the little things in life,
yep,
that can just bring joy to anybody.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. So I'm glad that Brandon was able to come on the show and talk to us about the great. I've heard a million great things about Starkey throughout the years. I'm a little bit bummed I'm going to miss out on the gala, though, man. I want to hit the red carpet, man.
But, dude, you got a hookup now. You're late.
What do you mean I got a hookup?
Well, he's going to get you in.
They don't have a gala anymore. They don't have the event.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, COVID happened,
and they
got away from the but I'm sure they'll probably have some fancy schmancy party, and I'll get in there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they will.
I'm going to let them know. Brandon, hey, hook your boy up.
See, yeah, that's right. Well, what was he going to hook you up for then? Because, yeah, that's right, because I remember seeing the gala was just...
Well, their foundation gala was always a big hit. Mm-hmm. There would be celebrity. I'm talking about like Hollywood celebrities.
Oh, yeah, because I remember
they would always come
that,
to St. Paul. It was in downtown St. Paul.
Yep.
What was that, the X? I can't remember where it was because I'd never been. But it was a big deal.
Oh, it was a huge deal. Yeah, because I remember seeing all of the pictures of these. It was such a high prestige and like a high, you know, quality caliber. I can't even think of the word at this point. But there was just something about it that very prestigious. I think is probably the word that I was looking for. Very prestigious. And to have, this is just one more reason why I feel like the Twin Cities.
Look at it. I just did a quick Google search.
Yeah.
George Bush, Ben Affleck, Bill Clinton. Who else is at the Starkey? Oh my gosh. There's so many celebs here. Caitlyn Jenner. Who else? There's so many on these pictures.
All of the celebrities, and you pick
Huey
Caitlin
Lewis.
Jenner. There you go. Is he there with
what?
The
I'm
news?
I'm just mentioning the ones I'm seeing in the picture. I'm not like pinpointing specific people and calling people out. Evander Holyfield.
Okay.
Oh, here's my favorite. Oh my goodness.
Who's that? Shannon Tweed?
No.
Sydney Sweeney?
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, yes. That's one of your many ladies.
Oh, I'm smitten. Coming up next, let's talk to Rand Baum, Michael Rand from the Minnesota Star Tribune, next.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.